The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Great. This is the third time watching. Still love it.
It's my first time watching this in person. It's amazing.
Seems like it gets better every time.
What did you think of the show?
It was good.
It's great. It's awesome. It's really exciting. I love it so much.
What's your favorite part so far?
I'm just impressed when they can all dance together, all of them in a row like that, and keep it all together. I think it's fantastic.
Wonderful. It's nice to see them at the Ryman. I'm sure it's very exciting for all of them and us too after first show back here since COVID. So
cool.
We're blessed to be here, and yeah. So I'm sure everyone else is happy as well.
Wow, what a great show this is. I love this show. My wife and I are a huge fan of the arts, and we love Celtic music. We always try to get to a Celtic festival every year, and this by far is the showstopper of all the shows that we've seen.
It's really cool. This is their first full-length show of this. So,
what'd you think?
What was your favorite dance?
The one that they were wearing the green clothes.
They're so talented. It's amazing to see it. Yeah. So, and all the different ages and everything. Love it.
It's really, really good. All the dancers are really good, and the shapes and formations of the team dances are really, really nice.
Cool. What's your favorite part so far?
I think the festival part, I really liked how it felt like an actual, not an actual competition, but it felt so happy and uplifting, and I just really liked it.
How long have you been dancing for?
I have been dancing for 7 years.
It was amazing. The choreography is amazing, and we do troop ourselves, and we just don't know what to think of it. It's amazing. The male lead, his feet are so sharp, and I just don't know what to think of it.
It was wonderful. We're going to Memphis also to see it again.
It was cool and awesome, and I liked it, and I want to see it again.
Oh, I loved it. It was great.
Wonderful. It's fantastic. I've never seen anything like this.
I think it's just really great. I loved it.
I thought it was awesome. Awesome. It was amazing. Words can't describe it. It was a complete show. It was a complete show.
It's perfect, you know. I just love it. Just love it. And I think you guys worked really hard.
It was all great. Everything was amazing. The singing was incredible. They had great voices. And if I could dance like that, I'd never stand still. It was amazing.
Some of the sounds of Nashville there. And there's lots of sounds in Nashville, as we discovered on our brief trip over there. And a lot of the sound is not so good and very loud and kind of overbearing. But there you have the reaction. Last night, we're back from Nashville, Tennessee. And that's just a little bit of the reaction coming from a crowd of 905 people. That's the biggest crowd we've had yet for Celtic Throne. And I think just in the short time I was there in the middle of the show, and we had to leave pretty quick after the show, but I think we had at least 7 or 8 states represented. Of course, the ones coming from a long ways away, a lot of them were Trumpet Daily listeners or viewers. In fact, one of the attendants there told David Vigil that as far as taking care of things after the show and packing up and so on, he said, don't worry, the crowd at the Ryman Auditorium typically leaves really early. It's often an older crowd, and so they're out the door as soon as the show is over. That was not the case last night. We left, I think, 20 minutes or so after the show ended, and the lobby was still packed as all of the performers came out into the lobby and people stayed around for autographs, for pictures, for conversations, fellowship, and so on. So it was an exciting night. I'll just give you one email that came in from, I think, a mother of a son and his family that went to the show. I just got off the phone with my son. He was so impressed with the entire show. He was so intrigued that a lot of the cast was basically from several families. He loved the patriotic and loving God music. He said that the audience gave multiple standing ovations. It was a night they will always remember. So Celtic Throne, it continues. the tour. It stops in Memphis on Thursday. And then next Monday, I think it's in Little Rock, Arkansas, July 1st in Tulsa. And then the finale, July 11th on a Sunday here in Edmond, Oklahoma at beautiful Armstrong Auditorium. And that particular show, I think we have 60 tickets left. So we sent out an email alert this morning for those who haven't gotten tickets yet saying that you better get them before this show is completely sold out. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this, of course, is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you tuning in to our broadcast, and we're thankful for our broadcast partner, CRN Digital Talk Radio. That's Channel 3 on the CRN network, and that network distributes this program to over 11 million homes across the United States of America. We thank you, we'd like to thank Richard Palmer also for filling in on yesterday's program as we were making our way to Nashville, Tennessee. One email that came in response to Richard's show yesterday. Thank you, Mr. Palmer, for your presentation of the King of the South and the Holy Roman Empire. I've known about the Catholic Church since I first heard about it from Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, in the 1970s, but today was the first time I recall hearing the Roman in the Roman Catholic Church. A small thing, but a good reminder of how deceived we've been. Thank you for your part in presenting perfectly arranged wording that caused that connection to be made. So some good reaction, some good response to Richard's show yesterday. And we've had quite a collection of emails coming in the last couple of weeks. Hopefully on today's show, we'll make some time for that at the end. So the Celtic Throne performers were performing at Ryman Auditorium. We were able to watch a video about the history. This is the most famous stage in Nashville. It's been around since the late 1800s. And, of course, it was made famous during the 1940s, 50s, and 60s because that was the home of the Grand Ole Opry every week. And then it eventually moved to a bigger venue, its own venue, the Grand Ole Opry. And then the Ryman Theater started out as a church way back in the day, and then it opened up to these performances and, as I say, was made famous by the Grand Ole Opry. And then after that and a few things happened that weren't so good back in the 70s, the theater closed down. But there was a movement mostly among performers, you know, celebrity stars that performed there that did not want to see this historic venue torn down. And so it had a bit of a resurgence in the 1990s, and today it's going strong. You walk in there, and basically you're sitting on pews almost, like from a church, wooden benches, and there's places, as you would expect for a building constructed in the late 1800s, there's places particularly off on the sides or behind pillars where you don't even get that good of a view. I talked to a few people during intermission. They were moving around because it was not a complete sellout. And really, for this kind of a performance where you have performers taking up the entirety of the stage and you have the psych in the background that displays all of these beautiful images and such, there's really probably 1,000, maybe 1,200 really good seats that have a good view. If you go back deep into the lower orchestra pit or the lower orchestra seating, you can't even really see to the top of the stage because of the balcony that is almost right on top of the stage as well. So a really unique venue and one that, of course, most of our performers are very young. They didn't know much of anything about the history of the Ryman Auditorium, but by the end of yesterday, and as they were going on stage, they had been educated about that history, and all of these performers, of course, that the world just celebrates these great performers of the past that performed right on that very stage going back decades and decades ago. So they were excited, they were nervous, and they were just, I think, thrilled with the opportunity to perform at something just something that really was a beautiful venue, but also had such a rich history. So, and I would mention too, just on the way, because of some of the things that we've noted before when visiting monuments and landmarks and so on, With respect to our book clubs, I didn't have the greatest experience a couple of years ago visiting Monticello as they made Thomas Jefferson, one of our founding fathers, out to be this monster. But along the way, we were able to see some of the sights on this road trip. We visited the Hermitage yesterday, just outside of Nashville. This is Andrew Jackson's mansion from the early to mid 1800s. He, of course, was America's seventh president, and I was bracing myself for the tour there, bracing myself for a tour guide to tell me that he was a monster, that he hated Indians, that he hated African Americans, but was in the end pleasantly surprised. I mean, there's some of that sort of thing, I guess, as you work your way around the estate and read some of the history there that's at the various stops along the way. But the tour guide that we had, an older woman named Louise, who took us through this the mansion tour, she was just a wonderful guide, giving us and really you could listen to her, and she knew all of her history regarding the former president, and gave some anecdotes along the way that was really interesting and funny in some cases. But you could tell that she just enjoyed doing it. She loved the history. She appreciated Andrew Jackson's impact on the United States of America. And it was a real delight for me and for my family and for a lot of the AC students that went along on this this book club field trip. We were able to combine that with the performance last night. We also were able, by the way, to visit the Shiloh battlefield site, the famous Civil War battle that happened back in 1862. And here again, we were blessed with a wonderful tour guide, and this was very unusual. He was, a 20-year-old that was going to university somewhere in Memphis, and anyway, he was studying for, computer engineering or something like that, but he loves history, which is unusual for a young man attending university today. And here again, he presented the history. He presented the facts. He told us about the strategy. He told us about the Union troops. He told us about the Confederate troops. He told us of the significance of this battle. And it was a significant battle. Of course, the Union went into it thinking that if we can just come away with a decisive victory here, we can put an end to this madness, this carnage, this mass, all of these mass casualties. But as it turns out, it was just the beginning. The war would drag on for another 3 years after that. But the twists and turns of that two-day battle at Shiloh and just the devastation at the end of it, 24,000 Americans were killed in that struggle. And most from both sides, young men, had never seen any action. 75% of the Union troops, 75% of the Confederates had never even been engaged in war. They had never even seen a battle. And they were slaughtered, so many of them. That's some of our history. Some of the history that we should be teaching to our young people. So, as I say, to go on a tour and to get some of those details from a young man, a smart young man who really enjoys history, that was unusual. Well, there's certainly a lot. Having a day off yesterday, there's a lot that's been going on in the news as per usual. But with the road trip and the travel and the fun that we were able to enjoy, I'll have to catch up more as we go. But there's a few items here that we can get into before we head off to break. President Trump had an interview, I think it was with Real America's Voice. I forgot the name of the host here. But here's what he had to say regarding the 2020 election steal, clip two.
No, I never admitted defeat. We have a lot of things happening right now. I think that was an election that was, I don't think, all you have to do is read the newspapers and see what's coming out now. No, I never, the word is concede. I have not conceded.
You have to give him credit for his consistency. Here we are. We're nearing the end of the month of June. No, I haven't conceded. I didn't lose that election. You know it. Everybody knows it. And yet the propagandists in the media, they continue to play along with their big lie. They continue to promote their big lie that everything was normal, even as the evidence piles higher of fraud on a massive scale. There was news coming out of Georgia about they've been cleaning up their voter rolls there. Raffensperger, He's beginning to see the light. He's appalled by what happened in Fulton County. He's cleaning up the voter rolls. This is according to CNN. It says more than 100,000 names will be removed from Georgia's voter registration rolls in an attempt to keep the state's voter files up to date, Georgia's Secretary of State announced. So this is an announcement from Raffensperger on Friday, last week. It says here, making sure Georgia's voter rolls are up to date is key to ensuring the integrity of our elections, said Raffensperger in a statement. There is no legitimate reason to keep ineligible voters on the rolls. I'm sure Stacey Abrams was somewhere saying, racist! Racism! Trump! He's cleaning up the rolls. 67,000 voters were removed due to a change of address. They left the state or whatever. Couldn't get a hold of them, so they cleaned 67,000 of these addresses. 34,000 who had mail returned to them among the 67,000. CNN said that Georgia also removed 18,486 voter files of dead individuals. 18,000! What did Donald Trump lose Georgia by? I think it was 12,000 votes. Do you think any of these dead people voted in 2020? They did! We know this! There's witnesses! Data has been analyzed! And yet still... Here they're tens of thousands of non-existent voters cleaning up the rolls a few months after, several months after, the election steal of 2020. And we're supposed to believe that as messy as all this was, there was no foul play. No, listen to the radical left. As long as the Democrat wins, it's perfect. Everything was perfect. They're not interested in the truth. They're not interested in getting to the bottom of fraud and stealing and theft. They're just interested, as my father has written so many times before, they just want power. They just want power. And if you question them, if you question the way that they go about it, they will shut you down. They will blot you out. They will silence you. And that's the way that they operate. They operate like good communists do, like Vladimir Putin would. In this interview that Donald Trump had, he went right down the line of all the things that are very disappointing to him, including the some of the decisions coming out of the Supreme Court. This is what he said yesterday, clip three.
Let me ask you a little bit about those Supreme Court picks, Amy Coney Barrett, Brett Kavanaugh. They ruled with the liberals just recently in favor of saving Obamacare. What did you think of that, about what they did?
Disappointed, and that's the way it goes. Very disappointed. I fought very hard for them, but I was very disappointed with a number of their rulings.
Yeah. Does it make you second-guess some of those picks, or time will tell?
No. Second-guessing does no good. But I was disappointed with a number of rulings that they made.
He's disappointed. You can't very well second guess this or that, as he says, but look at some of the rulings. Where's the courage? Where's the courage to go back and correct a wrong that's hurt a lot of people? He had this to say about his former vice president, Mike Pence, clip four.
Well, I've always liked Mike, and I'm very disappointed that he didn't send it back to the legislatures. When you have more votes than you have voters in some cases, and when you have the kind of things that are that were known in many cases, they were known then, but they're certainly getting better and better known now. I was disappointed that he didn't send it back. I felt he had the right to send it back, and he should have sent it back. That's my opinion. And I think if he did, I think those look at Pennsylvania now. Look at Georgia. Look at Arizona. And look at others. They're all now looking at what happened during that election. I think you would have found that you might very well have a different president right now had he sent him back.
Some of these states are starting to do what Mike Pence should have done back in January, but he didn't do it. He didn't have the courage. He didn't have the courage. He submitted to the mob and the fake narrative that there was a so-called armed insurrection on January the 6th. That's been exposed as a lie. And meanwhile, what about these other actual riots there was a story. This is from the New York Post. Charges against hundreds of New York City rioters, looters, have been dropped. Even as the January 6th protesters, remember the trespassers and the ones guilty of disorderly conduct, some of them still sitting in jail, waiting for their day in court. And I guess Julie Kelly at American Greatness, she's the only one that cares about them. She's the only one that's writing about them. She's the only one exposing the fact that this is a grave injustice. I guess a few others, Tucker Carlson maybe. But where is the outcry? And then meanwhile, these thugs that destroyed American cities. Nothing happens to them. The New York Post says hundreds of alleged looters and rioters busted last year in protests over George Floyd's murder by police have had their charges dropped, according to the NYPD. Figures ripped as disgusting by local businesses business owners. The charges just dropped. No justice for these business owners that had their windows smashed and all of their goods stolen. In some cases, their place of business burned down. Yeah, charges dropped. It says in the Bronx, which saw fires in the street and mass looting in June 2020, more than 60% of arrestees have had charges dropped, according to the investigation by NBC New York. Yeah, 60% of them. 73 of the 118 people arrested in the borough had their cases shelved altogether. Another 19 were convicted on lesser counts like trespassing, which carries no jail time. Well, tell that to the ones guilty of trespassing on January the 6th. You burn down a federal building? That's okay. You walk into the Capitol when the law enforcement says, "Here, I'll open the door for you. Come on in." Then you need to rot in jail. So it was a setup. Those protesters had been infiltrated by Antifa and the FBI, as we now know. There's the story out of Portland. This police riot squad resigning after an officer was indicted over an alleged assault on a photographer. He took his baton and he pushed this photographer back. And they're going after the policeman. Fox News, it says all 50 of the Portland Police Bureau's highly trained rapid response unit officers resigned this week after the recent indictment of Officer Corey Budworth for allegedly assaulting a photographer during an overnight riot last summer. Here's the police. They're trying to keep control of this situation. And they go after, not the rioters, they go after the police officer. And so these 50 police riot squad officers, they resign in protest. Well, how are we going to be able to do our job? We can't push someone back with a baton? Really? And so they walk away. Is that going to help Portland? I suppose the radical Marxists are happy. Well, we're not only defunding the police, we're getting rid of them. This is great. And then look at what happens to our cities. In case you haven't noticed, even CNN now is picking up on some of these local reports. Portland is dead. Portland is over. We played some clips from that local reporting not that long ago. And now CNN comes around, and CNN's not there saying, you know what, we might have been a little too easy on these guys last summer when we said, it's mostly peaceful behind me, even as the building was burning down. Our cities are dying. Listen to this. I was asking Sam. I know I've touched on it before. I couldn't remember if I've played this clip before. So if it's a repeat, forgive me. But here again, listen to this this report coming out of San Francisco, clip 9.
Three people stopped to take cell phone video of a man filling a garbage bag with items in a San Francisco Walgreens. But that didn't discourage the theft. Nor did the security guard's attempt at grabbing the bag. The man got away with everything on a Lyft bike.
That's when he sort of like ran into me with his bicycle.
ABC 7 News reporter Leanne Melendez took the cell phone video while she was shopping at the Hayes Valley Walgreens on her day off. She was not injured.
It's hard for me as a journalist to say, I won't be involved. I can't get involved. I have to be sort of neutral. But this is also my city. I live in the city and I see this constantly.
In the past year and a half, Melendez says she has witnessed three of these out in the open shoplifting sprees at different Walgreens throughout San Francisco. Unable to justify profit crushing theft, stores are closing.
17 Walgreens over the last 5 years. Almost every Gap retail outlet is gone.
That's from a local report. I think we did play that previously, but then here comes CNN now. They're finally getting around to reporting on this. This article from the New York Times a week or two ago. San Francisco's shoplifting surge. They just waltz in and they take what they want and they leave. And nobody, as you saw there, nobody does anything about it. They can't do anything about it. Just a little slap on the wrist. If law enforcement actually even does something, they end up right back on the streets. And they keep right on stealing in broad daylight. We're seeing what happens when you get rid of law enforcement and you say, hey, just have at it. Do what seems right in your own eyes. This is Judges 21:25, pure and simple. This is the United States of America. The New York Times, thanks, now you come around, New York Times, CNN, now you're coming around to finally report on this. The fact that our cities and so many of these cities, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, Chicago, New York, they have been led by radical left-wing Marxist governments for decades. It's very, very sad to see cities dying. And of course, when you step out and look at it more broadly, it's a nation. What you're seeing is a nation that's dying. What you're seeing is a nation that's sick, as Isaiah 1 prophesied. Sickness from head to toe. Sickness through and through. Who's going to heal us? No wonder Donald Trump gets on an interview yesterday and says, I can't even believe what's happening to the United States. I can't even believe what's happening to our nation. I'm just disappointed with this, this, and this. So much bad news. Listen, did we play clip 5 where he was disappointed in what's happening in America? You forgive me, I'm running low on sleep, but play clip 5.
Well, I think I'm just looking at what's going on. I'm very unhappy with what's going on. I look at the border where people are coming in by the millions. It's going to be by the millions very soon. Mm-hmm. It already is. And I look at other things, how our country is really, it's America last. I was America first. I look at it and I see what's happening and I'm not happy about it. So we'll make that decision. And I think people will be very happy with the decision I make.
So there he is, looking at our nation, looking at the millions just streaming across the border. Lots to be disappointed about. And when we come back, we'll talk about what God has to say regarding where we should set our minds. You look at what's happening in the nation today, and I tell you, we need to be setting our minds on the things above. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the program, you can send any and all comments to td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. A child is a miraculous blessing from God, an opportunity to build his family. In his word, God says to train them up in the way that they should go, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. But how should you train up your child? Most parents do not know. Most parenting books offer only limited help because their authors do not understand the purpose and potential of your child's mind. As a result, millions of children grow up to be hopeless without any direction in life. Many come from broken homes. Many do not have a home. This is why so many young people become delinquent, rebellious, and unsuccessful as teenagers and adults. But you can rear successful, jubilant children and avoid the heartache of an unhappy and miserable home. God has outlined how to rear obedient children in His Word. Our free book, Child Rearing with Vision, will show you how to raise children that follow after God's abundant way of life. It will help you build a strong, united family. It will help you bring God's love into your child rearing. And it will guide you through the momentous journey of preparing your child to serve God the Father forever. Request your free copy of Child Rearing with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
In the latest edition of Royal Vision, the July-August issue, my father has an article in there, Set Your Affection on Things Above. He builds the article around the verses in Colossians 3, the first two verses there, which we'll look at in just a second. But he refers to those verses and then says, we need to keep our minds on the Father and Jesus Christ. Set your affection where the Father and the Son are set. Christ is risen and seated at the Father's right hand, and they both tell us, this is where we want you to set your affection. This is where your real passion needs to be. This is where you need to set your mind, as it says in the margin there in Colossians 3, if you have the King James Version. Set your affection on the things that God and Jesus Christ are really interested in what God and Jesus Christ are really passionate about. Further on in this article, my father says, this is truth. We need to get into our minds. We must be educated. We're receiving the knowledge, but we must take it and apply it in our lives, or it has no value. This is what God's telling us. Previous to this statement, he said we can't just think big thoughts. We must do big things. Do big things. There was a T-shirt yesterday at the Hermitage with the famous quote from Andrew Jackson that said, I was born for a storm, and a calm does not suit me. I mean, he just relished the thought of turmoil, of being strong and stable and courageous and bold. Even at the most difficult hour, you think about Winston Churchill and how that he saved the Western world. He saved his nation during that darkest hour. I was born for a storm. Bring it on. Bring it on. Is there something we can learn? Are there a few good lessons we can learn from someone like Andrew Jackson? The man was he was an orphan at the age of 13 or 14. He was a Revolutionary War veteran by the end of his teen years. That's unusual. I mean, this is not someone who inherited great wealth and prosperity and strength and power. He didn't just get it from his parents. He didn't get it from his grandparents. This was a self-made man in many ways. This was a God-fearing man. He's not known as being especially religious, but he certainly believed in divine providence. He certainly believed in Almighty God. And he certainly put his nation ahead of himself, even. He risked his life for the United States of America. He put America first. I guess that's not popular to do that today. You hear news of this transgender who wants to go off to the Olympics and win a gold medal so that he or she or whoever it is can burn the U.S. flag on the podium, really? You think you're going to see a Russian winner burn the Russian flag or a Chinese victor burning the Chinese flag? Only in America. Only in America. A product. A product that transgender is of the communist infiltration, critical race theory. These Marxist revolutionaries want to teach your children to hate the United States of America and to hate the other race. That's right out of the mind of the devil. And God says, set your mind on the things that I love. Set your mind on the things that I'm passionate about. Set your mind on the things above. My father says, how much do you love God's truth? Do you look to its resplendent maker? That revelation comes from the Holy of Holies in the third heaven. It's from the omnipotent God for this church. What good news. What a wonderful vision. At times it ought to bring tears to our eyes. When you just think about what God's working out here below, if you look at what's right in front of our faces, it's dreadful. I mean, you've got police officers saying, I've had enough. I'm leaving. I'm done. Over. It's over for me. Set your mind on the things of God. And when you do, as he says there, at times it'll bring tears to your eyes. Tears of joy. He says here, this is the only way we can grow spiritually. We must be reminded of what to think about and the vision to get in mind. This is the only way that we can really grow. God really wants to help us understand better what it is we need to get in our minds, what it is we need to be thinking about. This daily renewal, 2 Corinthians 4:16, renewed the inner man, renewed day by day. Herbert Armstrong, when he was talking about Colossians 3, back in the early 1970s, he encouraged his listeners, his readers, to study Colossians 3 and to be renewed, to dedicate yourself anew to this instruction, to this admonition. And so it says here in Colossians 3, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Well, that's God's throne room in heaven. Set your affection on that. Set your affection on the great, omnipotent Creator God and His Son, Jesus Christ, sitting at His right hand. Christ is about to return to this earth to set up the kingdom of God on this earth. And what did Jesus say about the kingdom of God? He said, seek first. Seek. Set. Go after. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see all these people wandering the streets of Nashville. Not all of them. There's some families here and there, but there's a lot of young people just staggering their way across the streets, filling up on alcohol or other substances. See all these stores, even here in Oklahoma, dispensaries, selling off all these products with marijuana, cannabis. People are searching for answers, for hope, for some sort of something that makes them feel a little bit better in the moment that they're in. And yet look at them. Do they look happy? So many of them just look miserable because they're setting their affections on earthly things. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:19 that if in this life only we have hope, we're going to end up miserable. Verse 2, it says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So it's not just a matter of setting your affection up here on things above. God says, don't set your affection, your mind, on things that are here on earth. Earthly things, fleshly things. Now, we're of the flesh, and we need to be fruitful and productive. We need to work. We need to make an income and all those things, and we need to be good employees. There's plenty of other scriptures I could go through, obviously. 1 Timothy 5, about providing for your own. If you don't do that, I mean, you've got some serious spiritual problems. But we need to be pursuing all of those things with the right spiritual orientation, with the right mindset. A mindset that, as my father said there, can sometimes bring tears of joy to our eyes as we contemplate the purpose and the plan that God's working out here below. God's way of life, it's such a wonderful blessing. And all these hundreds and hundreds of people turning out to see Celtic Throne, and mothers emailing others saying, yeah, my son was sure impressed at how family-oriented it was. People rejoicing, people clapping, people giving a standing ovation, and maybe not even really understanding why it was so uplifting and why it was so positive. It's because God's presence is there. It's because God is behind it. It's because God inspired it. I was talking to one of our choreographers last night on the way back. And my wife has brought this out before as well. The fact that the choreography she feels is just inspired, so much of it. She sits in the venue and watches the show and tries to take notes on things that we can improve and develop further. But she marvels at the inspiration that God has provided with the music, the dance, the choreography, all of it. God's resurrecting his culture. He's bringing his throne room culture to this earth through his church, through the bride of Jesus Christ. And in the wonderful world tomorrow, you're going to see musicals like what this church produces all over the earth. And you're going to see people coming from miles away, from 7-8 different states, to be uplifted, to be inspired by righteous sound, music, dance, by family living, wholesome living. Set your affection on the things above. Who made family? Who ordained marriage? Read the first couple chapters of Genesis sometime. And if God ordained it, why did he ordain it? Why did he institute these institutions of marriage and family? Why did he create family? Why did he make them male and female? Did he make them male and female so that one of them could say, well, I don't want to be male, I want to be a female. And oh, by the way, I also hate my country. That comes right out of the mind of Satan the devil, who hates family. He hates the fact that God made us male and female. He wants to destroy marriage and family, and he's having good success doing it. That's another thing you can celebrate as you tour through Hermitage. Andrew Jackson's deep love and devotion to his wife, Rachel, and she died just as he was about to head off to Washington, D.C. to become president. And he was convinced that that what contributed to her death was all of the attacks on her and his character and how it just wore her down. And yeah, he doted on that woman, and he wrote her some of the most tender-hearted love letters you'll ever see in the United States. You don't see it so much today, that kind of love and devotion between husband and wife, within families. Set your affection on the things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 3 says, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead. You've let go of the world and the way of this world. And your life, your new life, is hid with Christ in God. Your life is there with God and Christ. It's there where we set our minds. So we come out of this world and we quit living in the past. We go forward with Christ. We follow that pillar cloud. We set our minds, our affection on the things above. It says in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. That's quite a verse. When Christ, who is our life, he's our life. He's our life. And when he appears on this earth, It says, you also appear with him in glory. You think about 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2. When he returns, we're going to be just like him. Now, that ought to move you to tears at times. It will, if you really dig into your Bible study. If you really pour your heart into setting your affection on the things above, just as Paul taught here in Colossians 3. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with some viewer and listener feedback that we've received from you over the last couple of weeks. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Don't forget to submit your own feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Is marriage on the way out? Is the institution of the home, with its family life, to disappear from society? How and when did the institution of marriage originate? Does it, after all, serve any necessary purpose? Why Marriage, Soon Obsolete, takes an in-depth look at the institutions of marriage, the home and family life, and reveals a startling, even shocking truth, which has been altogether overlooked by science, by religion, by education, and by society. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Some feedback coming in from you, the listener. Says here, I don't miss an episode of God's Truth. I love listening to you fire off the chapter and verse off the top of your head. It gives me great joy. Also, a great understanding. Keep us filled with the power and knowledge of the coming kingdom of God. Another one here. This comes from Fulton County. It says, seen any interesting birds lately? Did that beautiful cat ever go for the kill around the bird feeder? Says, salutations from Winston, Georgia. Sobering to hear you speak about and say Fulton County on the program. I work at I work in a healthcare facility in that county. Looking forward to the Celtic Throne tonight in Birmingham, Alabama. So that came from a few days ago. This is interesting too. Just saw this email from the UK. A comment on Facebook. This is in response to what we touched on in the first segment. On the election fraud, it says, my deceased mom was also on the list of voting from the nursing home. It says, I checked it out online, and she was on as voting, complained about it to the district court, and then she was taken off. A dead woman that was on the voting rolls, a dead woman who voted. She didn't say where she was from, but anyway, that just came in on Facebook a few moments ago. This one here says, I have to respond to this one as Bible prophecy and tomorrow's news today progresses at rapid speed. Thank you so much for all that you do for God's work and awakening the people with the best programs of warning and inspiration. It says, when Biden and his controllers say the most dangerous threat to American democracy is white supremacy, what that statement really means is scary, like you say on your show, saying the silent part out loud. Another one here says, the program almost came across as political comedy today because of how much of a joke everything is right now. I was laughing pretty hard during the portion about the list that Biden gave to Putin. That was the list of targets that he pleaded with Putin not to attack. That was at the summit last week. It's good for everything to be exposed, so that it gets to the point of breaking the deep ruts of just continuing to play all these political games. For so long, people, I think, saw no other way. They thought that good would come through, playing along with the current fraudulent ways of doing politics. It's good to prove that it doesn't work and that truth is what sets us free. This one here says, it's from North Carolina. Although I take issue with your stance of not getting involved in worldly politics, I find your analysis of them every bit as good as the late Rush Limbaugh. June 17th is especially insightful. That's the show last Thursday, I guess it was. June 17th program was especially insightful. Thank you. It's really a shame we're told to do nothing with all that great information. Even so, I continue to listen because truth is so hard to come by these days. That from North Carolina. Another one here says, my wife, this is following the program that we had, or rather the performance we had in Edmond a couple weeks back. It says, my wife and I traveled from northern Indiana to watch the June 6th performance of Celtic Throne. We were immediately greeted at the door of Armstrong Auditorium by Shane Granger. He invited us in and made us feel welcome right away. We then proceeded to the tables that had Celtic Throne merchandise, where we purchased two Celtic Throne t-shirts and a tumbler. So here's another one that came from out of state to view the show. We were disappointed that there were no TD coffee cups available that we have grown fond of after watching the Trumpet Daily, this little delightful cup right here. It says, fortunately, the familiar JBL voice behind the stand, Mr. Dennis Leap, came to our rescue and made a special trip to the campus bookstore, which was closed for the day, and brought back two Trumpet Daily mugs for us to purchase. As we walked into the auditorium, we were greeted by several PCG students and graduates, including the bass resonance voice of Rufaro Manyepa. He's going to be a senior this year. It says, who showed us to our seats. Soon the lights dimmed, and we spent the next 2 hours in a wondrous world of lights, song, and dance like we've never seen before. It says here, the performers brought energy to the stage. It was amazing to witness. Soon we felt ourselves moving to the music and tapping with the rhythm. We were now a part of the show's powerful force. We were part of the Celtic Throne family. It says, after the final curtain closed, we proceeded to the lobby. On our way, my mother tapped me on the shoulder and asked, isn't that the gentleman you watch every day? I was sitting a few rows behind these people that enjoyed the show so much. It says, sure enough, you had been sitting only a few rows behind us. I would have said something to you, but I could tell that you were busy greeting other patrons. However, well, he then goes on and says how that he went out into the lobby and he met with some of the performers. He got to chat with my son. He mentioned Dennis Leap, as I say, and some of the students. So this is someone, a listener, a viewer of this show, not even yet a member of God's Church, and yet someone who came a great distance to see Celtic Throne and was moved, as you heard there, by the experience. So some wonderful feedback, and it continues to come in. And I just want to reiterate what I said at the top, that there's just the three or four shows left. We've got Thursday night, and there's still tickets available for all three shows. The one that we're closest to selling out, that happens on July 11th. So that's a good ways out here in Oklahoma. If you're anywhere in the Oklahoma area and you want to go to the last performance of the summer, then go to CelticThrone.com and order your tickets today. Before that, the July 11 show, we've got Little Rock. Well, Memphis first. Memphis, that happens this Thursday night, July 24th. We've got Little Rock next Monday night. That's on July 28th, and we've got Tulsa finally on July 1st. I was in Tulsa over the Sabbath this past weekend and met with some of our brethren there and got to take a trip down memory lane. Lots of places in Tulsa that I visited during the my more youthful days for youth tournaments, and there was a big booming congregation in the Worldwide Church of God way back in the day, same as here in Oklahoma City area. But it's, well, I won't get into the history that happened following Mr. Armstrong's death. But good news is coming to Oklahoma in the form of Celtic Throne on July 1st. Tulsa, and then July 11 in Edmond. That's all that we have time for on today's show. We thank you for joining us. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll see you next time.